I'm here with Kevin Gonzalez. Kevin is in town for the 4th annual Clemson Literary Festival. He was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico. He holds degrees from the Iowa Writers' Workshop and the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he was also a Carol Houck Smith Fiction Fellow. His poems and stories have appeared in Playboy, The Progressive, Virginia Quarterly Review, Poetry, and McSweeney's, as well as in 2 editions of Best New American Voices and Best American Non-Required Reading. He currently lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and his first book is Cultural Studies, and it is put out by Carnegie Mellon Press. This first book was a finalist for the Patterson Prize, and I wanted to begin by having Kevin read the first poem from this collection.
Thank you. This poem is called Flat American Waltz. Beneath the cracked roof of the bus shelter, where a school of cigarette butts gathers to worship the thin lines of the sidewalk, a man is muttering a cliché as deep as the best metaphor you could conjure for America. It's all been done before. We might as well be wearing blindfolds. I know the scent of the streets of Pittsburgh and can isolate it in any diner of the world. Let's talk about accents, tongues curling up as they hit the base of the pot. The black smoke of the bus assimilates into the black air. Let's all believe in the place these hard plastic seats are taking us.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm curious, in the middle of the poem, it says, let's talk about accents. So let's start by talking about accents, in particular the sounds of the poems, because you have a beautiful way of using slant rhyme and all kinds of rhythmic inversions that really I really enjoy. So I don't know if that's related to accents, but
It might be. No, I actually do pay a lot of close attention to rhythm and to slant rhymes in these poems. Even though, you know, some of them are sort of disguised formal poems. There's a couple of sestinas and a sonnet in the book and a ghazal. So I do pay a lot of attention to that. I like to do a lot of play on words in these poems. Language is something that I'm definitely that I definitely pay very close attention to when I'm writing poetry and even when I'm writing fiction.
And this poem is called Flat American Waltz. I want to give our listeners just a sense of your titles, because they're fantastic, and there seem to be a series happening here. So just to give you guys an idea, that from the contents, we have Cultural Stud, How to Learn English as a Second Language, Poet Laureate Guest Stars on The Simpsons, 1978, How to Win a Poetry Contest, How to Survive the Last American Colony, Cultural Schmooze, Cultural Scope. And then the last poem is Flat American Waltz, a reprise. And so you'll be reading that at the end of this session. Right. I was curious about those 2 series that I see happening, the cultural series and then these sort of how-to poems. So could you talk more about how those came into being?
Sure. You know, it sort of started with one individual poem, and it's the first poem that appears in the book called Cultural Stud, where I sort of started writing in the second-person point of view, just because I wanted to sort of have the poems be somewhat self-analytical. And I like the second-person point of view just because it, you know, in addition to addressing the reader directly, which I think is a very interesting position to put a reader in, it allows me as a writer to sort of examine myself and to talk to myself as I'm writing. So once I'd written that poem, I sort of let it sit and I went back to writing the other poems that I, sort of very different poems that I'd been writing. And I realized after a while that I wasn't really done with that voice and with the themes that I wrote in that poem. So the book sort of started with that one poem. And those how-to poems also play on that idea. You know, they're somewhat self-analytical poems. They're somewhat autobiographical.
You also get the sense that you're an insider. Like, reading your poems, it feels like I got to be an insider on the poetry world, and then an insider on being Puerto Rican, and an insider on being at Iowa, at the Iowa Writers Workshop. I love the complicity that second person allows for. And I love how the poems seem fearless. Like, I feel like I've heard along the way, don't write in a poem that you're writing a poem.
Right.
You know, this kind of advice.
Yeah.
When your poems buck against that.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, that's something that I myself struggled with when I was putting the manuscript together, because that is something that can, I know that it can grow tiresome. And I was sort of, you know, trying to keep the poems fresh and original. And the second person, I think, was one of the things one of the techniques that I used to try to accomplish that. You know, there is a lot of humor in here. It wasn't my intention to write a complicitly insidery book, just because I've always thought that poetry should be fairly accessible. But at the same time, at the time when I was writing these poems, I was immersed in this world. You know, I was in graduate school. I was surrounded by writers.
There's definitely like an honest element to saying I'm a poet. I'm at the Writer's Workshop,
right,
and this is what I'm writing about. You know, I was thinking in particular, for an example of this, on page 65, mm-hmm. The line, "Remember how your advisor said your endings are always too conclusive?" I love that sense that the poet and the reader are together in this conversation about the act of writing poems.
Right. You know, and that poem sort of, it plays off of this kind of sense of irony, too. Because when I wrote it, I was actually getting an MFA in poetry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You know, it's a very small program, and I think the problem with a small program is that, you know, there were five people in the program, so I was studying with the same five people for 2 years, whom I liked and who, you know, are lifelong friends. But, you know, the sort of the writing workshops became a little bit tiresome after a while, not just for me, but for everybody else who was in that program. So I did start writing about being in the program just because I felt somewhat frustrated with it, as did everybody else who was in it. So some of that, some of these themes sort of come from that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Idea.
The other thing that I'm really fascinated by in your work is the way that you have a tendency to embrace and reject, sometimes simultaneously, poems about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And an example of that is in these lines, "A woman with scars like railroad tracks tells you to be thankful because at least you have a shtick." And to me, that was a really powerful moment in the collection overall, mm-hmm. because it seems like some sort of critique that someone else might say,
right,
that you are owning in the poem, that you are, you know, divulging in the poem.
Right.
Could you speak to that?
Sure. You know, there is a little bit of resistance in some of these poems to the idea of, I guess, being categorized. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it seemed to me that no matter what my book was about, no matter, you know, you could be black and you could be writing, you know, you don't have to be writing about race, but you're still going to be looked at as a black poet. You could be Latino, sure, and you could be writing language poetry and you're still going to be categorized as a Latino poet. And there really isn't a way to escape that. So I guess there was a little bit of resistance to that in this book.
Understandably so, because it's so reductive.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of is sensualizing, and it assumes that an entire ethnicity writes the same.
Right.
Which is absurd.
Right, right. And just the idea that, you know, I mean, I did grow up in Puerto Rico, and the one thing that, you know, that a lot of people don't seem to understand is that even within a country like Puerto Rico, whereas, you know, in the States, you know, anybody who's from Puerto Rico is going to be seen as Puerto Rican, even, you know, within the country, even within, you know, a lot of Latin American countries, there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of class issues. There are a lot of race issues. So the idea that categorically you're going to be linked in together is something that I, you know, that seems like I was trying to inform.
Absolutely.
About that.
Sure. To teach and to delight.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. Well, turning to your current work, mm-hmm. what projects are you working on now, either in poetry or I heard you mention fiction?
Yeah, I'm working, I'm still writing poems. I'm working on a second collection of poems, but I'm mostly working on a novel these days. It's sort of a coming-of-age novel that deals with some of those issues that I was just talking about. It takes place in Puerto Rico for the most part. It takes place partly in Puerto Rico and partly in Miami. And it's a coming-of-age, first-person narrator, mm-hmm. novel. It spans about 30 years. I guess, I mean, it's sort of like linked stories because it, you know, it has three different characters and sort of examines these three different characters at different points in their lives, and they're all, you know, related. So it's sort of a three-generation story.
Well, I can't wait to read it. I really love these poems because of the way that they have both narrative and story, but also an attention to language. Mm-hmm. And I think when you marry those two things, that's what I get excited about in poetry, is feeling like there's a story, but it's not prosaic. It's really a lyric poem with a story hidden inside or something like that.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I realized that after I'd written the book, I'd written that I was telling, I mean, I realized that I was telling stories mm-hmm. in a lot of these poems, and then I started writing a little bit of fiction to sort of expand on those stories. The other thing about the second person is I'm not a big fan of people assuming that the narrator of a poem is the speaker.
Absolutely.
And when you write autobiographical poems, I mean, I consider these poems to be as fictional as a short story would be. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's while there are things that are taken from my life, you know, not everything that happens in these poems actually happened. And that second person sort of allowed me to work with a character.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, let's close this with a reading of the last poem from your book. This is Kevin Gonzalez reading from Cultural Studies. So go ahead.
Okay. This is called Flat American Walls, Reprice. It has the same lines as the poem Flat American Walls that I read at the beginning, but they're inverted. So the last line from the first poem is the first line from this poem, and it kind of goes backwards. So Flat American Waltz, Reprise. These hard plastic seats are taking us into the black air. Let's all believe in the place where the black smoke of the bus assimilates, curling up each strand a question mark. Let's talk about accents, tongues isolated. In any diner of the world, I know the scent of the streets of Madison. We might as well be wearing blindfolds for America. Everything has been said. The best metaphor I could conjure, a man muttering a cliche as deep as the thin lines of the sidewalk, where a school of cigarette butts gathers beneath the cracked roof of the bus shelter.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.